Welcome again to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Jeff Fiegels. We'll be with you for the next hour to talk Giants football here on Giants.com. Our phone number is 201-939-4513 if you want to join the conversation. Also, hit us up on Twitter if you like at hashtag Giants Chat. Again, we'll be here for the next hour to talk Giants football, playoff preview against the Packers, or anything else you want to talk about in the world of the New York Giants. We're here always every Monday to Friday from noon to 1 p.m.
Once
Eastern
in a while.
Time.
Not always, but most of the time.
Well, we revolve.
Yeah.
All of our revolving door hosts here on the Giants broadcast team have a great time, of course, interacting with the fans, and that gives you guys an opportunity to express yourselves about this upcoming game. Now, the Giants and the Packers, Jeff, they've met once before, and we'll get the first injury report of the week tomorrow.
Shouldn't be that big.
No, it shouldn't be. But what I want to stress to people is that when the Giants and Packers played back in October, the Giants' secondary was badly beaten up. And I think, to me, besides the fact that both teams have improved since that time, the one thing that I want to take note of is that the Packers no longer have Eddie Lacy on IR with an ankle. Mm-hmm. They do, however, have tight end Jared Cook back, who is certainly a help to their passing game. Not that they needed it. The Giants had a hurt Eli Apple in that game, only played a handful of snaps.
Hamstring.
They had, with a hammy, yeah. They had a hurt DRC who was nursing a groin the entire night. And even though he played most of the game, he was taped up and wrapped up, and after every timeout, had to come back in the game after the trainers worked on him. So he was just a shell of himself. And so when you consider some of those factors and some of the bumps and the bruises and the guys who have healed and the guys who have not healed, personally, Jeff, I don't know that that game means as much as some people want it to mean. It was quite a long time ago.
Doesn't mean anything.
There you go.
Why does it mean anything other than the Giants lost and they won and now they're playing each other again? Haha, right? It does mean. It means that they weren't at full force in the secondary. The other thing you remember about that game, and I was watching that game on Game Pass coming back from
Jack Rabbit's two picks.
Is going into that game, the Giants did not have an interception. And at that point in time, the Giants' defensive line could not stop or pressure a quarterback for the life of them, if you remember.
Correct.
In that game, Aaron Rodgers had plenty of time to throw the football. The Giants' defense was just starting to, and that was game five, I believe, the fifth week of the season, just starting to develop. The whole set of circumstances from both sides of the football now, or both teams, excuse me, the Giants' defense is much better than they were. The Packers' offense is a lot better than they were, too. This, folks, is going to go down to one of those games where it's going to come down to the end, in my opinion. I think that the offense, the Giants, we'll probably get to this a little bit later, what they gain coming out of the Washington game offensively, I think what they gain defensively. Really, to me, Paul, this game's going to be close. It's the Giants do not play good on the road, but you know what? This is the time of the season, and being an ex-player, I can tell you this from experience. Everybody gets faster, everybody gets stronger, and the games are way, way more important because now you lose, you go home, and what you have here, folks, is a vision in front of you. Now, there's not a lot of guys in this team that have had this vision before and been on a team that has gone to the Super Bowl. I know you could probably mention them. I know Diossi and Eli is – oh, Beedy.
Six Giants won Super
Bowls. There's three of
them. Giants. There were two guys on the active roster. Rainey with the Ravens was on IR. Casillas with the Saints and the Patriots who have rings with other teams.
So not a lot.
Vereen doesn't count. He's on IR. He's not on the active 53.
Okay. But my point is that this team, you know, this right out in front of them, Paulie, it's right there. Three games, you're in it. Three games. Not 20 when you first came into the season. You're done with those. You now have three left. Concentrate about the first one going to Green Bay and going into Wisconsin where it's going to be a little chilly. It shouldn't be that bad, though. So
there's a gleam, man. There's a gleam. Let's get the gleam.
There's a gleam. As Coach Coughlin always used to say, keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. I think that the Washington game did a lot of good You know, we debated on who was going to play and who wasn't going to play, and he did all this and he did all that. Bottom line was Coach McAdoo had a vision. He had an idea of what he wanted to do and come out of that game, and I'm sure that a lot of things were what he wanted.
Let me ask you one question before we get to our calls at 201-939-4513. Simply put, you just alluded to the fact that everything changes now that you are in the postseason. Rookies, the guys who the Giants have counted on a lot to this point this year, the Paul Perkins of the world, especially in the last month, the Andrew Adams of the world. Jarrell Adams sat out with a shoulder injury last week, but in the last month or so, he's become a bigger part of this team. These guys, what particularly are they going to notice during practice this week before they get to that game so that they won't be surprised, so that they won't be overwhelmed by the moment?
Well, what they're gonna realize is that the media, there'll be more media here.
A lot more.
Okay. They're going to realize that things are going to you're gonna read about it and you're gonna see it on TV. So everything gets kind of – now it's just these teams this weekend playing football. Mm-hmm. What you're not going to see from the coaches is much change. They're not going to change anything because players and coaches are creatures of habit. They're going to do the same thing that they do every single week. It's going to be the same 9-on-7. It's going to be the same this. You're not going to see that. Where you're going to see a change is from the media, and you're going to see it from – inside the locker room with the younger guys talking about it. But from an organizational standpoint, from the coaches stuff, you're not going to see a lot of change. You don't want to scare these guys. Paul, you've never played in the playoffs before. Look out! I mean, you don't want people to react to that. You know what I'm saying?
The Giants have had 15 players on their active roster, which is less than a third make the playoffs.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot that has not made the playoffs, okay? The guys that have, that's an advantage because, and most likely if you go down, you're probably going to hit maybe almost all of the positions. Maybe, you know, maybe an offensive lineman, a defensive lineman, a linebacker, what have you. You may not reach all of them, but in close proximity. You know, maybe the linebackers can talk to some of the D-line, this and that. But where this comes into effect is that the older guys are going to tell the younger guys how important this game is and how everything kind of elevates. And the rookies, the only thing they have to go from, Paul, is when they came out of training camp and came out of preseason and went into the regular season. Because there's three stages. You got training camp, regular season, and playoff. Mm-hmm. The intensity and everything elevates in those three phases. This is just one extra step of that elevation. And that's the only thing that the rookies can compare anything to is going from one to the other. But it is important for everybody to understand it's just a football game. Prepare the same way and understand in your mind that you're going to go on the road and win a game to get to next week. That's it.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
Cool.
All right, Dottino.
Oh.
Now, do I need to talk you off of the ledge?
let me just say this, folks. As much as he's talking about ramping things up with the players, the coaches are pumped up even though they're trying not to show it. The people in the building are pumped up, and they're certainly showing it.
Of course.
And I'm going to tell you something else, too.
The
announcers,
pumped
we're pumped up, too. I'm not sleeping. I'm not afraid to tell you. I got 3 hours last night. I mean, this is the time. You know, Coach Parcells would say, this is what you lift all those weights for. This is what you play for. This is it, man.
This is what you wait 4 years for.
This is it.
5 years.
This is it.
I mean, it's been a while. It's been a while. Those coaches are happy. Now, I'm going to tell you a little sidebar to all this, which
all right.
A lot of people won't.
We'll tease that off the Twitter. Folks, if you've been watching on Twitter, go over to your Giants phone app or go to Giants.com on the Internet. You'll get the rest of Jeff's story as well as the rest of the program. Go ahead.
So earlier in my career, when we were with the Eagles back in, and I was just spending a little bit of time with Mike Golic. Him and I are really good friends. And he was coaching the Under Armour game that I was at this weekend. So back in 19, I think it was 91, we went to the playoffs. And I remember when we made the playoffs, our wives, we lived in the same apartment complex. We were all dancing around and we were saying, we got $5,000. We got $5,000 because we made the playoffs, right? And it was $5,000 that year when you went to the playoffs. Now, I don't know what it is this year. Okay?
I have no idea.
But I'm just giving you, remember people, this is from the player's perspective.
Yes.
That when you make the playoffs, there are some guys that could care less about the money because the playoffs, you're taking a pay cut.
Yes, that's
okay?
true.
But there are some guys that playoff money is in addition to their normal paycheck. And it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I know it's more than $5,000.
Yeah.
But it is a great incentive because now you're on extended play. You know when you used to play those video games and all of a sudden you're like, beep, 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 extended play? You're on extended play right now. And you know what? And you didn't have to put another quarter in to play the game. You just had to put all the work that you just said with Coach Parcells. Oh, yeah, all that work, all those weights. Yeah, guess what? You played that game long enough, now you're on extended play.
Donkey Kong.
And you do not – whatever it is, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, and you do not want it to end now. You don't want it to end. So you just keep playing, and you keep plugging away, and you keep going. And you know what? The next paycheck gets a little bit bigger, and the next one. And then finally, no matter what it pays you, when you get to that Super Bowl, you could care less about the money. It's all about the brat, wherever that trophy is. Where is the trophy? There's one right there.
Yes, there's one there. I don't want to make you feel old, Jeff. I'm told the
you're not much older than I am, by the way.
That is true.
Okay.
The wild card money. I'm told the wild card share for the winner is $27,000, and for the loser is $24,000.
I got $27,000. $27,000. That's what I would be saying. All right. That's a good number. That's good. It should be more than that.
That's a good number.
It's not enough. So anyways, but I will tell you this. There's some guys that are not making that during the week.
Yes.
So
agreed.
this is a raise for them.
Absolutely.
Now, when I look at Eli Manning, not so much.
Eli Manning doesn't care about that. He cares about the jewelry.
And again, I'm not saying that it's all about the money. Trust
I know
me.
You're not.
It's just a sidebar to it's kind of fun to talk about. And I guess anybody that's out there that doesn't play football can relate it to that bonus that you get at the end of the year for your work or whatever it is. It's just really nice to have. Because one more sir, this is just you want me to host the show today because I'm just not going to shut up.
Here's what I love about it,
huh?
You are almost as excited, if not more, than I am, and I love that.
Well, I'm excited for everybody.
I think it is so cool.
I'm excited for everybody because we, and I say we because I'm part of the organization and this and all that we do. We've been waiting for this for a long time. And I'm sure that guys like Jerry Reese and the scouting department, when they go out and we talk about all the drafting and everything that's going to happen, it's all come to fruition. It's here. Now, what can this team do about it? Okay, you can go now. Go ahead.
I was up till 2 a.m. Watching Packer tape.
Let me just tell you something.
2 a.m.
I've missed some time. I wasn't on the pregame or the postgame.
I know.
Week, so I've got to get my shots in here.
He's jacked not only because of the Giants being in the playoffs, but Zach Fiegels, his son, was in the Under Armour All-American High School game.
And they won.
How cool
now,
is that?
Now, unlike the professional All-Star game where you get paid more if you win – he didn't get anything for winning, but he did get to say that he was on the winning team.
That's very cool.
Which was a lot of fun.
Guys, 201-939-4513. We are going to the phones. And first up on today's show is Ralph from the Bronx. And you kick off Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, guys. Y'all getting me jacked over here. Wow. I'm excited just listening to you guys. No, but seriously, that was a big win Sunday. I think that brings a lot of confidence. And I saw some things that I think we're going to see a lot in the playoffs. That four wide receiver set with Cruz and Shepherd in opposite slots and either King or Lewis and Beckham on the outside, I think that brings a lot of matchup problems for the defensive backs.
I'm with you.
You can't double-team everybody.
Ralph, just make sure of one thing. Make sure that your offensive line keeps Eli upright because if you're going to go four wides – pass protection is going to be at a premium. To me, I'm going to tell you flat out, let's just get this out of the way right at the beginning of the show.
Go ahead.
If the Giants' offensive line holds up against the Packers' defensive front, which they did not do earlier in the year when they were in Green Bay, the Giants will win this game.
Yes, I really believe that. I agree with that 100%. Oh, absolutely, yes.
Go ahead.
And also, if the key question is, the biggest thing of the game is, Eli doesn't turn the ball over or the Giants offense doesn't turn the ball over. I think the defense can hold Aaron Rodgers to 17 or 20 points. The offense has to come up with 21 to 24 points to win this game.
Ooh.
I think literally the defensive backs of Green Bay are all banged up. If the offensive line can hold just give Eli 4 to 5 seconds, I think the wide receivers are going
to
step up.
I'd take 3 seconds, to be honest with you. I don't need 4 or 5.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, and the running game, to me, with Perkins, is a different dynamic. I mean, he sees the hole quicker than Jennings. I'm sorry. Jennings is trying to hold, patient, then see the hole. Perkins sees the hole, and he's gone. So I think the running game has really stepped it up with Perkins being there. And I like Jennings coming off the bench, bringing the banging, you know, the bruising kind of style to loosen up that defense. So when Perkins comes back, now he gets the holes, and they can't catch him. I mean, what do you guys say about that?
Well, I agree with you. It's going to be a lot to ask for this team to score 24 points going on the road in Green Bay when they haven't done it much in the last 5 weeks at all. So, but, you know, your defense can keep you in this game.
No question.
Now the Packers can put points up on you. You know that. But also, they haven't played this defense in a while. So maybe it's 17 points you're asking of the offense. Maybe a 17-14 game. You know, somewhere in there. But one thing I will wholeheartedly agree with you is the turnovers, especially offensively. In a playoff game on the road, you don't turn the ball over and win games. So you have to be very, very careful about that.
You know, it's funny. I put up on Twitter yesterday after getting a bunch of tweets from fans who were telling me the Giants have to sack Aaron Rodgers.
They can't get to him.
And I altered that and told everybody up on my Twitter, Giants WFAN, by the way, he's Jay Feagles.
Thank you.
Very good. It's not about sacking Aaron Rodgers. It's about turning him over. Because in the last 7 games, he hasn't thrown a pick.
Yeah.
I'd rather get 2 picks on Aaron Rodgers than get 2 sacks.
Sure. And keep him in that pocket. Keep him in the pocket because he makes plays with his legs. We saw it the other night.
Absolutely. I feel if we keep him in the pocket – he's going to try to force some throws in there.
And by the way, Ralph, Jenkins had 2 picks on him last time.
Exactly.
There was almost.
That's my point. So he's going to try to force some throws. Yeah. And that's where you get the opportunistic tips or the Landon Collins jumping in front of Jordy Nelson on a slant. So those are the things. If we could just keep him in the pocket and not on the roll, because that's when everybody goes in scramble drill, and that's hard to cover. I don't care what defensive backs you have.
No question, Ralph. And that's
right, thank you guys for taking my call. And you know what? Let's go Giants. Go Big Blue.
Appreciate it. Great call. Kevin from Orlando, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hi. How are you? I got 2 points I want to make. But, Paul, I was very disturbed to hear that you don't watch Seinfeld yesterday. What's going on with that?
No interest.
You are boring. What is wrong with
you're killing
you?
Killing me.
No interest.
I'm going to have to take you to task on that in the offseason at a later time.
Yeah, about it.
No problem.
I don't want to get bogged down. But just remember that. But the 2 points I want to make is, one, I hope people can appreciate the patience the Giants organization has. As fans, we have zero patience, and that's only fueled by the media, who, like, anoints someone as the greatest ever every week and conveniently fails to mention how they're constantly wrong about their predictions. And as the yearly coaching carousel and GM carousel begins, be thankful you root for a team that doesn't make rash or knee-jerk decisions to create headlines or bow to media pressure. Sure, their inaction can be viewed as stubborn and not work out every time, but that's life. They get far more right than they do wrong.
Kevin, there is no greater seesaw in the world than the emotions of an NFL fan's reaction after every Sunday weekend's games.
No question. And even on the Monday after the season, too. But you know what? You do make a good point, and I will tell you this. Historically, the Giants have always been patient, whether you like it or not. And most of the time, it works out right. Now, Mr. Mara, I will tell you, was not that patient, you know, to a point where he was saying, you know, things need to change this year. No, but he did stick with some things, made some changes to the head coach. But I got to believe that this team is excited about where they're at and where they're going, especially when you look at this roster, Paul. It's pretty young.
Yes, you know? It is.
And so, the patience is a virtue, as they say. Anyway,
and that's my next point. Regardless of what happens in the playoffs this year, I feel like the Giants are playing with house money this year. With all the holes this team had, to come back at 11-5, make the playoffs, have a rookie coach, have all the free agent signings come up gold is nothing but a rousing success. You can't fix every problem in 1 year in the offseason. It takes multiple drafts, multiple off seasons. I've always felt that this team's window really was the 2017-2018 season. All they need is another good offseason. They don't have to go crazy, have a good draft, get a right guard or a right tackle in free agency, maybe draft a solid linebacker, get some depth, and this team should be an absolute powerhouse. Now, yes, Eric Flowers, you got to get his head straight. You got to have him get figured out, but I believe Paul's involves three-year mandate. You got to let a guy give him his third year to see
yes,
what
sir.
He is. But to me, everything that what you want for this team to be an absolute monster in the next 2 years is completely reasonable and within reach. It's not anything like you have to hope on a wish and a prayer.
One
That's
asterisk.
All I got, guys. Thank you.
All right, Kevin. Thank you. One asterisk to that, Jeff, and I'm going to leave it to you to agree or disagree. Eli Manning is definitely on the other side of the hill now.
We call it the back nine.
The back nine. Golfer that he is. Bottom line is, Eli does have a finite number of throws left in his arm. Whether or not it's 1, 2, 3, 4 years, nobody knows exactly, but he clearly does have a finite number left. Now, as long as he can continue to be the Iron Man that he is, you're right. It looks like this team should have a 2 or 3 year run here of some very, very high success, but it's still predicated on Eli, because if something should happen to him, Jeff, now you got to get that franchise quarterback, and it's not easy to do.
Well, it's also, remember, this offense is designed around Eli Manning and how he throws the football.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the time comes, it's going to have to be, you got to go find that pocket passer where it's a little more difficult in today's game. You know, everything is the read option guy, the outside, things like that. You got – so, yeah, everything. But, you know, when it comes to the playoffs offensively, everything is on Eli here, in my opinion. It's time for him to play like he's done in the playoffs. He hasn't been there in a while. To me, I don't think Eli has to play to the point where he has to go out and win games. Because I don't – this defense can win you games, Paul.
Yes.
What he has to do to win the game is to not make the mistakes that lose the game. That's the most important
thing. Do what he did Sunday in Washington.
Fine. Manage. Manage, manage,
handle
manage.
Things cleanly and then hit the big 44-yard strike to King down the sideline
okay.
in crunch time.
And guess what? It will help that. All these teams
run
playing,
the ball.
All those teams that are playing that two-deep look that you see all season – this team is now developing a running game where that is going to not work all the time. And when they go out of that is when Eli sees it. He's a smart dude. He's going to see it, and they're going to make big plays. And that's what's going to happen as long as he doesn't turn the football over. And really, in playoff games, it's the little things that matter. It's the roughing the passer penalty that you get in the fourth quarter that continues a drive for the team that's trying to win the game. I saw a statistic on the plane the other day that I could not believe my eyes when I heard it or saw it. And you know the statistic about the defense the last 5 minutes of the game?
Yes.
That, to me, is
Tell
ridiculous. The Giants did not allow a score defensively, okay, from the opposing team's offense the last 5 minutes of the game the entire season. That, folks, is meaning ridiculous. Think about that. That's nothing. Not a field goal, not a touchdown, nothing. That is winning football. That's why they're 11-5. That's why last year they were 6-10, because they allowed those touchdowns and those scores in the last 2 minutes of the game. But the last 5 minutes of the game, think about that. That's unbelievable.
Take away Eli's first playoff appearance ever in 2005. And what you have in his other four playoff appearances, a combined 17 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions. This guy knows how to play winning football in the playoffs. He knows how to get it done. He understands what it means to step up in a big spot, as he did the other day in Washington in crunch time when he hit the long bomb exactly when he had to and put the ball in a pinpoint spot. I have total confidence in Eli Manning performing at the level he needs to perform at, provided that a defensive front is not able to control the line of scrimmage and put the heat on him and put him on his keister. As long as Eli is given the chance to do what he needs to do, he's going to be fine.
Well, that's the MO for the opposing defense.
That's it.
Okay, so where does that lie? That means the offensive line is going to have a good game.
All right, really Joe from Pennsylvania, you're next.
Hey,
hello.
Joe.
Hey, great to talk to you guys again. You hit on a couple of points I want to say, the keys to winning this game. You mentioned the turnovers. This is why we lost the Eagle game. Turnovers, Rodgers in the pocket. Remember Wentz? He broke a few key ones there in that game, too. And last of least is the penalties there where you know, I hope we don't have anything like that. Now, you said in this game here, they're taking reps from each crew. Is that the way it goes, Paul?
I have not seen which officials are going to be at this game or who the lead official is going to be. I'm interested to see that once that information becomes available. I don't know right now who the lead guy is going to be, but obviously all the guys on the crew that day take their lead from the lead referee who sits with them before the game. Actually, days before the game, they start talking about what they see, the teams they've refereed, and they start talking about how they're going to deal with the game.
But I think what you're asking is this because is it the same crew? Even though the head guy gets chosen, are the other seven guys or whatever it is, are they the same crew as the head guy? Right? You're saying, you know,
well, is that what it is, or is it just every the best
head lineman, the best side judge? Yeah. I don't know.
I thought that the grade system begins with the playoffs and that if you were downgraded that you don't get to go to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I guess the question is that if you were the head official, like Tony Corrente.
Right.
Okay, is it his crew? Because they work together all year.
That's true.
So is it now Tony Corrente is doing the game? Is it
you
the
know
whole
what?
Crew?
Joe, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure, but I think – only the best guys get to work the playoffs, which means if there are some crew members there who were demerited, I don't think they get to go.
I would agree with you.
Which was the crew that refereed the Eagles game against us?
Oh, you know what, Joe? I got enough worrying about players without worrying about officials.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but I happen to see Dallas in the Eagles game. Every little touch Carroll did against a Dallas receiver, there was a penalty for interference. It was just so whatever.
Joe, here's what I'm going to say. If you're even thinking about the officials going into a playoff game, then you are way off track.
Well, no.
Honest to God, don't do that.
That's part of the key, so hopefully
it should never be
fair.
A key. It should never be a key. In retrospect, you can talk all you want about a mistaken call, but going into a game, if you spend 1 second as a coach or a player thinking about
Paul, he's not a coach or a player.
He's a fan.
So that's his point. His point is that's one of his keys. Let the man have his key to what
he
feels.
But I also want to bring up the Bears game. They played the Packers tough, and it was real cold. And, you know, it took the last play for Rodgers throwing a bomb to beat the Bears. So I think we should look at that game close there. You know what I mean? Maybe we could get something out of that there, too. Is Washington Stadium, do you think that's a little more hostile than Green Bay, would you think?
Well, no, not at all. Not
I think
at all.
They're both pretty laid back, right?
I think Green Bay's fans are outstanding.
They're
and
amazing.
They should be. They own the town.
Yeah.
And they own the team.
They're very cordial to the opposing team's fans.
Yeah, I would think.
I love going there for a game. It's the cathedral of the NFL.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well,
was just saying in the Washington game, maybe there wasn't as much pressure on the Giants there where they knew they had this, you know what I mean? They can just try their best at everything, and the pressure wasn't on if they would lose it. So one other thing, and I'll get off the phone. I want to give Cromartie some credit, man. Nobody plays the ball better than him, and I hope he can teach Apple. You know what I mean? When that ball's in the air, you never see Cromartie running, and he's behind the receiver and jumping up in the air and you know, not looking back. He always knows where that ball is.
He's great.
Is, so that's
he anticipates
all I say.
The ball
Thank
very
you,
well.
Bye.
Joe, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We have clarification. Evaluation is based on individual performance and not the performance of the crew. Therefore, the assignments are all new crews for the playoffs.
Good.
So that's your answer to that. Number two, I want you to remember something. If you watch the Bears-Packers game that you're talking about, Montgomery ran for 160 yards in that game. Okay? You don't want to do what the Bears did because they allowed that guy to run behind the left tackle to the left sideline time and time again for big plays. You don't want that to happen. You want to shut down the Packers running game. So be very careful when you say that. And then the other point you made earlier about the takeaways and turnovers – huge, because the number one reason why the Packers have won the last six games, they have 15 takeaways and have given the ball up once on a fumble. So they are plus 14 over the last six games. That's the number one reason why they won six in a row and made a playoff drive.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. I don't know how I didn't see the whole game. I caught it at the very end, the Bears game, how they scored 20-some points to get the Packers. That's all I wanted to say. So, and it was very cold, so it might have something to do with our game coming up, because I think it's going to be cold. So thank you again. Happy New Year's, and go Giants.
All right, Joe. Take
care.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, as always.
You know, it's funny. Montgomery's a converted wide receiver. And
well, if you look at the first game, you know,
Lacy destroyed the Giants.
Absolutely.
11 carries for 80 plus yards.
He was returning kickoffs.
Had a 31 yard burst, broke tackles left and right. It's like he had butter on his jersey.
he might have.
It is a big deal. If you want to take something from that game, and I think it was so long ago, and the teams are definitely different than they were then. But if you do want to take something from that game that is incredibly significant, I think it's the fact that the Packers don't have nearly the running threat that they had then, when Lacy was just chewing up yards against the Giants and kept Rodgers balanced. That's not going to be the case in this game, because not only do the Packers not have that running game anymore, the Giants' rush defense has become a brick wall.
And they do like to run the football, though, with Montgomery. They really do.
He's only had more than 9 carries once.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, then who's running the football?
That's the point. They're not.
Okay. All right.
They're not.
I stand corrected, folks.
This team, some of the workup that I was doing, for example, let's see here. Montgomery, maximum was 9 attempts in one game outside of the 16 carries he had against the Bears. Okay, Rutkowski had 9 carries for 61 last week against Detroit. And that's it.
That's a fullback.
Yeah, that's the basis of their entire running game over the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah, and then let's just look at
they've done
throwing.
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
they ran for 147 yards against the Giants last time.
They passed
led by Lacy
45 times and ran 32 for 77 plays.
They're not even going to have close to that balance this time. Rodgers is going to be chucking it and chucking it and chucking it.
And Eli was 18 for 35, and the Giants ran the football 15 times. Yeah, that's not going to be the same either. The Giants will run the ball more than 15 times this time.
How about this? You reverse those numbers. Giants are winning this game.
Oh, there's no question.
No question.
For just when we're looking at the stat sheet.
Although
here,
I don't think Eli really wants to throw it 45 times. But
we do not want him to throw it 45 times.
If he's throwing it
30.
Even 35, that's a little much, but I need the Giants to run the ball at least 25,
like
30 times.
Paul said, the Packers ran it for 147 on 32 attempts for a 4.6-yard average. If the Giants can do that, then they're winning the football game.
Conversely, the Giants ran 15 times for 43 yards for 2.9. That's going to be more along the lines of what the Packers do
right this
week.
Yep. And in that game where the Packers beat the Giants, Rodgers did throw two interceptions in that game, and Eli did not turn it over once. However, you look at the comparisons, the Giants couldn't run the football in that game. And Eddie Lacy just smoked them.
One of my notes.
And Starks.
Packers offense has totaled 100 yards or more rushing in 3 of their last 8 games. Giants have done it in 6 of their last 8.
That's amazing. When we were talking about how this team could not run the football, and here they banged out 6 of the last 8, which really is probably 5 out of the last 6, right? There was one team in there, probably the first of the 8th. What was go back 8 weeks? Who was it against? The Rams? Well, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Minnesota? They didn't run for 100 yards in Minnesota.
But they do it against Pittsburgh.
I went the other way.
You know what?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I'm trying to look ahead as opposed to look at behind. And that's why I'm a little sketchy on this right now.
Now, let me ask you your opinion, because I was asked this last week, and obviously I wasn't able to. Who did you think the Giants were going to play going back? Remember, I didn't get a chance.
I wanted them to play Detroit. I thought it was the most favorable matchup, but I thought they were going to wind up with Green Bay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, and that's what turned out to be. 201-939-4513 is our phone number. Let's see if we can get a couple of Twitter comments in here from you folks. I know not everybody wants to hit us up on the telephone. Let's see here. Let's see. Guy just talking about how great it is to be in the playoffs. Giants punching their postseason ticket. Louis Cristantiello wants to know, how is the Packers' run defense? Not great. In fact, I'll give you the exact number. I've got all this stuff down here because I spent all night going through it. They are eighth against the rush at 95 yards a game, but that is very deceiving because they give it up 4 yards a carry, which is right in the middle of the pack. And part of the reason that the numbers are not higher is because people have to throw against their horrible secondary.
Yeah.
So that's what you need to know there. We have here, let's see here. Stick with Paul Perkins as the starter, says A.J. Marshall, through the playoffs as long as he gets the majority of the carries.
Well, he doesn't have to be a starter to get the majority of the carries, so.
Weehigh Clicks is speaking of King. If you're not going to play Victor in the slot, put King out there instead of Cruz to take the top off.
They tried to do that with Roger Lewis.
Yeah, but King is the fastest of the straight ahead guys.
He also has the most experience out of all of them.
Let's see here. Spags knows A-Rod can't have 5 seconds to toss the rock. I expect crazy blitzing from us. Spags adjusts well.
Not crazy blitzing. Timed blitzing. Spags is patient. He'll go after you when he feels it's right. Why are you smiling?
Tom Prisblinski says, I turn on BBKL, Giants WFAN starts talking, and he comes into the room. Heike is his German Shepherd dog and starts listening. You have a canine fan. That's because most people think I foam at the mouth like a dog.
Well, I'm not going to go there, but that's nice. You know, have a German Shepherd that likes you.
I appreciate that very much.
You think about all the people that don't like you. At least you have a dog to go home to.
They're mostly Cowboys, Redskins, Eagles, and Jets fans. Kaz from Virginia, you're next on the show. Hello. Hello, Kaz. You're next on the program.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy New Year. First-time caller.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to just go ahead and get to business here. Just to comment on the last caller. If you never actually played any sports and stuff, you never, ever – never worry about the refereeing. You go out
exactly.
there, you handle business. You go out there, you handle business, and that's just all there is to it, you know? You let them do their job. You go out there, you do your job, handle business.
It is smart, though, for the coaches, and they do this. They will scout the referees, and they will at least tip the players off as to what the tendencies are. It is part of the scouting process, but it should never be listed as a key to the game.
Well, the scouting process is exactly. They see – you know what? Coach Coughlin in our team meetings on Saturday night before the game, he would tell us who the crew was.
Right.
In fact, Mike Sullivan and I always, when he was the coach for the Giants when I was around, we had a bet every Saturday night. And it was an ongoing bet. We would try to guess who the head referee was every week. Walt Coleman. And Coach Coughlin would get up and say, okay, tomorrow's referees are – and me and Sully would be sitting, oh, damn, just missed it. Or sometimes we get it, right?
Right.
But with that in mind, they when they know who that is, they go back and they say, okay, this referee crew is known for the most holding penalties in the league, the most defensive holding, the most offsides called. So they understand the tendencies of those crews.
Now, although the crews will not be the same.
I was just going to say, now the crews will be different.
The lead guy does direct them.
So now that So now they're going to have to take a look at a little bit deeper. But it is a scouting process, like you said, Paul. Absolutely.
But don't ever make it a lead key to the game. I Joe's got to back off of that. That's not a good idea.
Absolutely. So this is I'm one of those guys that usually just sit back in the cut, listen. You know, I'm saying, listen to you guys for a while. Long time Giants fan.
Great.
But this is my New Year's revolution for myself and for the Giants. Just make your presence known. I got a little overview here, and I'm just going to make some points. And if there's a question in there you guys want to comment on, then I'll take it off the air. But first, make your presence known. First of all, with the run game, it's mental reps. I'm a big believer in mental reps, even if it's against a weak defense. You go out there, you dominate. You know, I like how they you know, from the with the Redskins, with Detroit. You know, you go out there, you gain about 80 to 160 some yards on the ground. You know, you get positive momentum going into the to the playoffs here. It gives your guys a boost of confidence on the line. It gives your running backs the visual, and when it works, it just carries that with you. So mental reps is a big thing. I don't care if it's a strong defense or a weak defense. It's positive. Secondly, Eli, I think that he's been doing a good job. You know, I mean, I know it's all about help from each position is what I call it. You know, this is a game of seconds. So that's the offensive line, 2-3 seconds. It could be a difference between what he sees and his read progression.
No question.
So each person on the line, each person running their routes, Eli Manning himself, the running back picking up blitzes, every person has to do their job. You know, it's a game of seconds. 1 second, 1.5 second, half a second could be the difference. And a 44 bomb yard to Travis King on the sideline to Odell Beckham, you know what I'm saying, coming out of his break to Victor Cruz, you know, coming back on a go route or something. So this is a game of seconds. Everybody do your job, and we can have some real nice, you know, plays coming into the playoffs here. Also, with coming into the foundation, two championships under Tom Coughlin. You know, we got a new head coach coming in here. He's got to basically revamp everything. He's building his system. He's building his foundation. The last year was the Odell Beckham show. You know, I look at the roster, what we had from 2013 till now, really Cruz, who's been hurt. You know, you had Donnell, you had Randall, you had Nix, who basically those guys was kind of declining. So, yeah, it was kind of like, you know, the wide receiver position just quite wasn't there for the past couple of years. And then you get Odell Beckham. No one really knew what he was going to bring, and he just kind of flashed down and just was catching balls all over the place. Yeah, they're going to adjust. You get the two safety high now, you know. And then you got Victor Cruz coming back from the injury, and then you get the new kid Sterling Shepard in the mix. You got Donnell, who's doing some pass drops and stuff like that. But Eli Manning, I don't think he's had a lot of reps with – Cruz, he's got to establish that again. You got Sterling Shepard, who's doing a great job. Him and Beckham is pretty much that go-to. And, you know, you got some new guys coming in with Janelle. You got Will Tye. So, you know, we got to take it a little bit easy on Eli just because of, you know, the situation over the past years with the wide receiver position.
He set the bar high, Cass. He set the bar high, so you can't give him any slack because Eli is who he is, and you expect a lot from him because of what he's done. So did you have a question before we let you go?
Yeah, so my question this is so basically is with that wide receiver position and with the basically what I was just making that comment on was, you know, with these the I guess with Eli Manning and the wide receiver position, you know, him having chemistry, is that a big factor with him, you know, and his struggles of late? And you know, I know the offensive line is there, but maybe because, you know, with him and Cruz, he has to have that chemistry. So I'm thinking that maybe it's just that position itself on why we think we're not seeing these big, long plays down the field, and couple that with, like, a whole new revamp of the offense and the new coach and everything like that. So
I guess stay tuned. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Your thoughts on Eli?
I agree with everything he's saying. I mean, if he can play with no mistakes, then this team will go a long ways. Period. And you know what? I like what you said. If he just plays like he did against Washington, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but that's got to be coupled with an effective running game, because that won't be enough to get it done if they're running for 50 yards.
Exactly what they did in Washington. That's what I'm saying. They ran the ball for 140-something yards.
160.
160? Again, yeah. And I think that over the last 3 or 4 weeks, this team is starting to get a little bit better here and there with their running game, and the teams are going to have to. They're not a force to be reckoned with the running game, but they are something that the teams have to identify as it being potentially good. Whether, you know,
well, it's got to be respected.
7-8 weeks ago, nobody respected it.
Make them play honest.
Exactly.
That's what you have to do.
And that will help Eli. It'll help any quarterback, for that matter, a healthy running game. You know, and really, when you have a good running game, Paul, play action works with Eli Manning. And he's good at that. That's a timing play. And Eli is very good with play action. Play action, foot in the ground. Gives time for those quarterbacks or the receivers to get down the field for the long ball. when you don't have the play action ability, you don't have the protection, you can't throw the long ball. But when you're running the football and can set up play action, freeze the linebackers, freeze some of the safeties, that gives you big play potential over the top. That'll work.
All right. I am told the officials for the game will be announced at some point today.
Okay.
So that's first. Second, in terms of the run game, the 160 yards the Giants ran for in Washington, only the seventh time in the last 5 years. And why do I pick 5 years? Because it's been 5 years since the Giants made the playoffs, the four-year drought, and now this season.
Okay.
So over that five-year span, the Giants ran for only 160 or more yards seven times. That is a big reason why they haven't been going to the playoffs every year.
Sure.
Because they have not been doing it all that much. Want to add this. The Packer defense, which has given up 4 yards a carry this season, gives up five or more yards per carry when running at either edge. That's the weakness in their rushing defense.
Well, there goes to show you who's getting the ball this weekend.
Do not run between the tackles, specifically in between the guards, because when they play their 3-4, they send their backers into those gaps and stuff those holes. You need to run it to the perimeter with Mr. Paul Perkins, which is what you were just alluding to.
Yep.
Okay. That's one of your keys to the game offensively for the Giants.
Screens.
The other thing, no question, the other thing I want to mention when you were talking about the pressure and guys picking up the pass rush, I love the fact that you mentioned the running backs need to pick it up too, because it will never be more evident than on the touchdown pass that Eli threw to Plexico Burress to end the Super Bowl against the Patriots. You remember it well, Jeff. You got a ring from that game. It was a chip by Brandon Jacobs on the right side of Eli that allowed him the time he needed to float that pass into the end zone. If your running backs, whether it be Perkins or Jennings or Bobby Rainey, are not going to help out in pass pro, Eli will not get all the time he needs.
One of the reasons why you're seeing Paul Perkins, obviously, for the way he's running, but he wouldn't be having the opportunities to run the football if he had not gotten better in that category that you just said. Because they're not going to put a rookie out there that's going to get your quarterback killed. So as the progression went with him during the season, the coaching staff realized that this guy can play a little bit better, and he did in the protection. That's why he's in the game a little bit more, and also because of his production and running the football.
And let's not kid ourselves. Dom Capers, the Packers defensive coordinator, is a blitz maniac. He is a schemer. And boy, does he love to bring the heat. And the Packers are in the top 10 in the NFL in sacks.
They did it in the first game because, you remember, Matthews, it was just one of his games back. And then they put
Nick
him
Perry.
Everywhere.
Don't forget about Perry now. Perry had the 11 sacks this year.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He was a big problem, and so with Matthews in that game.
Perry is a really good football player, and they're going to try to put Matthews in situations to succeed.
No question.
And
the more you see Perkins in the backfield, the more Capers is going to dial up multiple blitz packages, figuring, A, that Bobby Hart and Eric Flowers may not be able to handle it, and thinking, oh, that rookie running back, let's see if he recognizes what we're trying to do.
Fine. If they can just hold off a little bit, and what the earlier caller said, you know, it's a game of seconds, just a couple seconds here and there could help Eli.
My friends, that's why the whole key to this game, as far as I'm concerned for the Giants winning, is holding out that Packer blitz, that Packer pass rush. That the Giants do that, they're winning the game, Jeff.
There's no question in my mind that that's the truth, because you look at the success that teams have against Eli when he has to get under pressure and throw the football. It does not bode well for the Giants.
We have a few callers left on hold. Lee from Atlanta, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
Yeah, it's an exciting time. The playoffs, we're back in it. Going to Green Bay, when we played them the first time, my main point of emphasis and fear, and it still is to this day, I don't know if anybody mentioned it, I didn't get to listen to the show yesterday, but the fact that Ben McAdoo was once a Green Bay Packer, and he was once under Mike McCarthy, and they know him well, and very seldom does the pupil beat the teacher. And I just worry that tendencies, and not so much X's and O's, it's about execution, but tendencies, knowing what somebody likes to do in certain situations, being able to anticipate play calling and stuff like that is what worries me, because I think the Giants, and this is not being a fan, I truly think, looking at the teams, looking at who they are, I truly think that we are just better than Green Bay top to bottom. Our defense is better. And even though offensively we struggled all year, we have struggled. What this offense is, when you look at it, what we have from Manning to Beckham to Cruz to Perkins and how he's performing like I thought he would coming off the bye week, this team can score points if they get it right. And in the last two games in Philly and Washington, they've gotten in the red zone. They haven't finished penalties and execution. But we have been moving the ball. I think we're better than Green Bay. So I'm not too worried about this game from that standpoint. I'm just worried that Ben is a rookie coach. If it was Tom, I'd be less worried. But a lot of it is coaching. A lot of it is putting guys in certain situations to succeed. And a lot of it is just luck. A lot of it is serendipity.
Well,
and that's all I
bounces.
Got, guys.
Lee,
that's
hold
it.
On. Hold on, Lee. I want to allay your fears just a tad. Because when McAdoo was with the Green Bay Packers, he was a tight ends coach and a quarterbacks coach. He was not a coordinator. So he was not calling plays. So in terms of what tendencies he may like, I don't know that that's relevant. I think if anybody knows anybody real well, McAdoo knows Aaron Rodgers much better and what he wants to do and what he likes to do more than what McCarthy might know about what Ben wants to call.
The other thing, too, remember this. The Packers were coming off of their bye last time. They had 14 days in between their games.
Yeah.
The Giants were coming off only 6 days. Remember, they played
a vicious game against the Vikings.
So
yes, right.
Time for preparation was a little bit different there. Okay, so you got to take that into consideration, too, a little bit for this game. I agree with you. I think that, you know, from a coordinator position and calling plays, I think he's probably more familiar with the tendencies of Aaron Rodgers than he is with the other thing that I look at from both of these coaches is which coaches are going to make changes to win a football game in their preparation. Who's more of the I hate to use the word gunslinger, but who is going to have, you know, what it takes to maybe change a little bit and go outside the box to win a football game? Would it be Ben McAdoo, who he does a lot of things on fourth down, he goes for things. You know, you look at McCarthy, he's the same way. He does surprise onside kicks. A lot of things that come into this game that the head coaches, you kind of look at their tendencies and maybe who's going to go against them a little bit.
That's an interesting point, Jeff, because – you know, you have two ways you can go. Either try to enhance the execution of what you have done all season.
And be blah.
Or you could say, you know what, we're going to try to surprise some people and do stuff that's out of the box.
Who is going to be guy? Yeah. I don't know. Who would you think would be the one? I think Ben would do because of what? His defense, because usually when you're doing something out of the ordinary, it's on a special teams play or offensive play that's going to put your defense in a bad position. To me, McAdoo would say, boys, we're going to do this because I have faith in you guys as a defense.
You could afford to take a little more risk when your defense is shut down.
If you're the Packers coach, you don't believe a lot in your defense.
Nor should you.
So you're probably not going to put yourself in or put your
Thank
defense
you,
in that.
Very interesting phone call. Appreciate
you,
that.
Hey, by the way. On my Twitter, I had somebody had mentioned to me, I got to give him credit here, but I went back and looked at here. Brett had mentioned to me that the Steelers scored a field goal with a minute 39 seconds left in the fourth quarter. I went back and looked at it. And,
what is the ESPN fact then? Maybe they meant touchdowns?
It could be a touchdown then. Maybe that's what it is, because they indeed did score a field goal here.
Did you see it on the crawl, or was it on the website?
I saw it on a tweet, and I'll go back and look for it.
Go back and look for that.
Yeah.
While you do that, I just want to let you know, when we talk about how bad the Packers secondary is and why it is so important for the Giants to hold out the Packer pass rush,
okay.
Packers have given up 32 touchdown passes this year, third most in the NFL. They have allowed 61% of the completions to go for first downs, second most in the NFL. This is a porous, porous pass defense, which we're going to wait for a medical report on one Quentin Rollins, who is their starting right corner, who banged his head in the game the other day against Detroit and was taken to the hospital for observation. And I don't even know what his status is right now. And we certainly hope all the best for him. I'm not saying anything else about that. But
what you are saying there, he may not play.
It's already a horrible secondary.
Yeah.
Which may now have guys even out of position.
But I will tell you this.
And backups
play. We had this same conversation going into this game in week five. They were starting two rookie cornerbacks. Their secondary was horrible, okay? And Eli had did not have a very good day. So, yeah, I kind of get that, but, you know.
But to enhance our point.
To enhance your point.
The 40 sacks, six most in the NFL. 13 of those sacks came on the blitz, which is tied for seventh highest blitz sacks in the league.
Okay, almost half.
Okay?
Oh, no, wait, more than half. Or, excuse me, well, did you say 40
17,
sacks?
13 of their 40 sacks. It's one-third.
Okay.
It's one-third.
Yeah.
Came via the blitz. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what it's all about. Pass pro for Eli. And that's the game. I'm sorry. That's how I feel. George, you're next on the show. Hello. Hello, George. You're next on the show. Hello, George. One more time.
Yeah, can you hear me?
We got you, George. What's up, man?
All right. What's up, man? Thanks for taking my call, guys. Appreciate it. Long-time listener, man. So I know the show's almost over. I'm making it real quick. The health status of Janoris. I don't know if you guys talked about that yet. I just came in listening to the show kind of late. So
all that we heard about was he was sore after the game. They had yesterday off. They're back into work today. Like Paul said, we're going to have more of a medical reports going into tomorrow or maybe even this afternoon. But right now, that's about all we know.
Coach did expect he might be limited at practice, but he was not going to go any further till he had a chance to see the player get out there.
Yeah, but he did play, which is a good sign.
And played well.
Gotcha, okay.
Yep.
And as a quick statement I wanted to make. So I'm hearing a lot of callers and, you know, and on social media and fans, you know, talking about Eli and the slump. It's not a slump. The problem here is that I played football for many years. And what a lot of guys do is, as fans, what we do is we try to hold the benchmark of a player towards every other quarterback. You know, you want to compare Eli to an Aaron Rodgers. You want to compare an Eli to a Tom Brady. Eli's Eli. You know, Eli has his way of playing the game, and if you look at the numbers, you look at the history, it's phenomenal. Is he perfect? Is he flawless? Is he going to have any turnovers? Well, hey, and the greatest quarterbacks have turnover ratios in a lot of bad games. I like what Eli said a few weeks ago. He said in an interview, he said he knows he has to play better. He's his worst critic, and he's going to come out. He knows he can get hot. What more can you expect from your quarterback? Your quarterback's confident. He's taking it upon himself. He doesn't throw people under the bus. He's a class act. And I believe firmly, I think Eli is going to really come out. I think this game, of course, if you know, like you guys were saying, the running game has to be a very important factor. With that beat-up secondary, we can get some protection for Eli. I have a strong feeling this is the game where he's going to shut up the masses and quiet down the crowd a bit. So that's all I wanted to say, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And go Giants, baby.
Well, listen, we hope that can stand true because I tell you there's one team that doesn't want to see this team. And I'm not going to tell you who it is. You guess. Next question.
Chris from Virginia Beach, you're on the program. Hello.
I wonder if there's any of those guys listen to our show with the big stars.
Fellas. Love it. I had a good time listening to the show.
Thank you.
A bit over the phone, but I was okay with that.
Good.
I'm sorry we got kind of tied up with all these points, but there's so much to say, man.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Giant football. I enjoyed the conversation. I enjoyed the fans, everything. Let me say this real quick about my man Paulie D, though.
I
need y'all to get off of Paulie D, man.
I'm not on Paulie D.
Not you.
Okay.
Jeff.
Well,
we said
y'all. Are you talking about everybody?
I'm talking about just in general.
Oh, all right.
You know,
okay.
they're getting on the brother about, you know, he's not watching this. He's not watching. Paulie D is a film guy.
He's watching everything. I can tell you that. You're right.
3 o'clock in the morning, he's breaking it down.
He's crazy.
So he can be informed and give us, you know, the best qualified information that we could possibly gain as fans. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate that, Paulie D. Thank you,
my friend. I appreciate it, too. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, fellas. Let me say this real quick, man. You know, the Packers are going to bring it. They're going to bring the heat because that's all they got. It hurt on the back end. You know, I feel like if we can get any kind of a screen game going, guys in the flat, maybe get Rainey involved a little bit back there, you know, maybe we can upend that front seven with the heat a little bit and then maybe loosen things up on the back end. What you guys think about that?
I don't know. I think I'm just basically telling you what we said already all day. I know we don't have much time to go into this much.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But,
well, if he's going to change something up, you might want to consider that. I don't know how much he's going to change up.
I don't know. Yeah,
probably not. Probably not.
I think he may take a chance or two here or there, but I think his basic philosophy of the game is going to be what it is.
I don't try to outthink yourself is basically what we're saying here, you know. That's my opinion.
I don't mean like change the game plan. I just mean, you know, let a guy leak out every now and again. Get a chip. Leak to the flat a little bit just to offset, you know, because they're going to be coming, man, all day. That's all they got.
I'll tell you what
that's
I like.
That's all they got.
You're
the
right. That is true.
The middle screen to me works in this situation, but you got to practice it, and it's got to be run correctly, obviously. But the middle screen might be something you haven't seen in a while. With, you know, they'll neutralize a pass rush or blitzes like that because, you know, the whole middle of the field is open. You know, if they can't get the ball to the receiver, then get it to them just right in front of you with the whole middle opened up.
I agree. Well, listen, guys, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks
for
calling.
My call.
Thank you.
Happy New Year and go Big Blue.
Hi, Chris. Appreciate it.
See, this is again Brett. Thank you, by the way. Fourth quarter, Saints scored a field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal.
So where did ESPN get the stat from?
I did see it, and I don't know where it's confirmed, but it says stat of the night: the Giants didn't allow a single point in the final 5 minutes of any game this season, become the only team to do so.
We're going to have to check on that with somebody because it's obvious that
that's not true.
It's not happening.
Because Brett, my man, who emailed this or Twittered this back to me, was here are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that have scored field goals. So maybe it's a touchdown. Maybe that stat should be a touchdown in the last 5 minutes
All
of
right.
a game.
We will try to research that for you and see if we can get
answers. We apologize for bad information.
I'll give you something that I know that's right. The Giants were 11-5 this season, and their 11 wins, Eli Manning threw 21 touchdown passes and only 8 interceptions. And the Giants' 5 losses, 5 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions.
Hence, don't turn it over.
Hence, pass protection. He's Jeff Fiegels.
Thank you, guys.
I'm Paul Dottino. This has been Big Blue Kickoff Live for Tuesday afternoon.
And by the way, it's probably the best one of the year so far. Right?
Let's make it better tomorrow.
Yeah, it's all good. Happy New Year to everybody, too, to everybody that calls in and watches our
program
show.
Program comes back on Giants.com tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern time for 1 hour to talk Giants football, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants chat. Hit him up at Jay Fiegels. I'm at Giants WFAN. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye, everybody.